Hello, welcome to National Treasure Minute. This is the podcast where we analyze, scrutinize, and celebrate National Treasure, the movie, 1 minute at a time. My name's Hugh from HughKeen.com.
And I'm Sarah.
And today we're going to talk about minute 10 of National Treasure, which starts with Nicolas Cage being thankful that he's not as crazy as everybody says his dad was, or his granddad was, or his great-granddad was. And then it ends with Nicolas Cage saying, "You handled that well." So what do you got for us, Sarah?
Well, a couple things. Going off of both of those. So at first he says he doesn't think he's as crazy as everybody because he thinks he's actually, he actually found Charlotte.
Yeah.
And then he was making fun of Riley. Well, I now have a theory that he's actually a psychopath.
Nicolas Cage's character?
Yes.
Okay.
Because how else would you react to finding a corpse?
Well,
he acts like, Riley did a lot.
I have things to say about that.
Riley did a lot. But, I probably would have acted the same way. And he was just, he didn't even react. He wasn't even like, oh. He was just like, "You handled that well."
Well, here's the deal, Sarah. I wrote, also, what were you expecting to find in a frozen hammock?
Oh.
Because
classic.
Because they are walking into a place where they know people died on this ship. And, he pulls back a blanket on a hammock, acting like he's expecting to see something pleasant. And it's like, what else are you going to see on this ship except dead bodies?
But I think that even if you know what you're going to be seeing, it's still a shock.
I would agree it would be a shock, but
Because you can't really imagine what it's going to look like or be like until you actually see it.
Yeah, but Nicolas Cage's character is, he has the attitude of, he's cool, right? And he knows everything. And so,
I guess so.
He's not surprised that there's dead bodies there. And he wasn't shocked to find dead bodies there because he knew that was going to be there when he got there.
I still think he's a psychopath.
Now, Riley didn't think
sociopath
about there being dead bodies there. And so he was frightened by them. And so I think both are natural reactions. I don't think it makes Ben Gates a psychopath.
Would it be a sociopath or a psychopath? I can never remember. Or are they the same thing?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
You're the one who got a degree in psychology.
He just doesn't. He just gives off a vibe anyway.
I think you just don't like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, maybe.
I just think in this scenario, if you have the if you have the foresight to be like, I think we might find dead bodies on this boat, then you'd be careful about every hammock you opened. Because you would be thinking that there might be dead bodies there. But if you went in there not thinking about dead bodies at all, then obviously you would have the reaction Riley had.
Yeah.
But maybe Ben Gates is just so desensitized to death for some reason that he just doesn't find dead bodies shocking anymore. And there are people in the world like that. And I don't think it's because they're psychopaths. So. But how does the psychopath connection add to the first statement he makes at the beginning of the minute? Because you were trying to connect them
both. Well,
because
he was like, oh, I'm not crazy. I found this stuff.
Oh,
maybe he's
okay.
Crazy in a different way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I see. Okay. Well, that's really all I had about this minute.
No way.
Because it's mostly just them walking down. They go down into the ship. And they open a door, and then they go through the door in the ship, and then Riley freaks out at a dead body, and that's the whole minute. So what else did you
have? Well, I went into a history of hammocks.
Okay.
Because
I did have the thought, when was the first time they used hammocks on a boat?
Yeah.
Because it seems like the best idea.
Didn't even think about the fact that they would ever have used them on ships. So that's why I looked at it in the first place.
Uh-huh.
And then when I started reading, I was like, well, duh. But the first hammocks were from like Central and South America, and they were made out of tree bark.
Okay.
And then I'm not going to say the whole history, but like Columbus came over, he brought it back to Europe. So they started using it obviously a little bit differently. And then they started putting it on ships so that like, or just in general, they were like, let's use hammocks because of disease transmission is not as likely as like if you're like bunking with people, I guess.
Oh.
And then also you're off the floor. So if there's animals and stuff around, yeah, you're away that from that.
Sense.
And then I also read that, I guess this was more, well, I guess you could fall on the floor no matter what. But like with the hammock, it moves with the motion of the ship. And so there was a less chance of somebody like falling off onto the floor.
Mm. Yeah.
Which is helpful.
Yeah.
And then I also read that they're now used in space. And so it said during the Apollo 11 moon landing, Armstrong and Aldrin were like couldn't fall back asleep after they had been out doing stuff because they were sleeping on the floor in the engine cover. And so then it said by Apollo 12, they had created like moon hammocks.
Hmm.
So I don't really know how those work.
Interesting.
But
I've seen documentaries about spaceships before and or shuttles and things. And I thought that they just like strap astronauts in like standing up.
Yeah, I don't
like
know.
They just have harnesses that they sleep in. And so I don't know how recent this is, but you would just essentially like put this harness on over your shoulders and your waist and you would just be standing up. And since there's no gravity, it would just feel like you were laying down.
I see. Maybe it just depends on what they go in,
yeah,
or what it's equipped for.
Yeah. So, yeah, I did have the thought of, it's a pretty genius idea for them to be using hammocks on a boat. And I know that I've seen that before in other like media as well. So I was wondering when the first time they ever like someone ever had that idea was.
I don't think I would like sleeping in a hammock.
At all?
Well, for one, I couldn't sleep on my stomach, really.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just, I don't think I would like how unstable it was.
How many hammocks have you been in?
I don't know if I've ever been in one.
Okay, well, I wouldn't form opinions about hammocks until
also,
you've been
it's
in
not
one.
Really, it's just not flat.
It's not flat, that's true. But there's not the pressure. Like, you know, some people have like back problems when they sleep on their side in a bed because they like can't get their like pillow height correct.
Mm-hmm.
And you wouldn't have that problem in a hammock because your back would just naturally flow with the bend in the hammock.
That's maybe my
theory, at least.
I need to start sleeping in a hammock then.
You can try.
Will that solve my back problems?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
Let's
see. How would they have created a scene like this? Like, fake snow? Like, how do they make everything look frozen and like it's been, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if this was, I don't know if they shot, I'm assuming they didn't shoot this part inside the boat on location. This is probably in a studio somewhere. So, it just would all be fake snow. And it probably would actually be fairly reasonable temperature in there. But they might have had to make it cold just so you could see the actor's breath.
Yeah.
But I don't think they probably shot this unless that boat that they have built for the set, the outside set, actually has an inside to it. I don't think this would have been shot on location. Just for the safety of like people being underneath the snow. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how people make fake snow, but they would have just, I can't really answer your question. I mean, it just would have been all fake. They would have built the set.
I think it all looked
pretty
real.
And then they would have sprayed fake snow all over it.
I think this minute, like, visually was pretty...
Yeah.
Convincing.
Realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I thought the dead body looked fake, but I haven't seen very many dead frozen bodies, so...
Have you seen any?
I mean, I'm sure I've seen them in other movies. I don't think I've ever seen any in real life. But after it doesn't look fake on the first, like if you were just watching this movie casually. But if you watch the minute over and over,
if you freeze it and you stare at it.
Yeah. In my opinion.
I'll have to check it out. I didn't pay that much attention.
You have anything else?
Nope.
Okay, the only other thing I have is I finally...
So, you do have something else.
Yeah, but it's not really about this minute. It's just about National Treasure.
Oh, okay.
So, I finally looked at the screenplay that I downloaded of this movie.
Woo.
And the screenplay was written in... what month is that? In April of 2003. And this movie came out in November of 2004. And so, just from looking at the screenplay for these first 10 minutes, I can tell a lot changed. And so, it's interesting to see how it's been altered. And so, I think I mentioned the first change in an earlier episode, but at the beginning, we don't see young Ben Gates interacting with his grandpa at like the grandpa's house. We see him interacting with the grandpa at a nursing home. So that's been changed quite a bit.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
Yeah. But for this part in particular, and I don't think I've said this before, originally it was just Ben and Riley in the snow machine that, they drove out by themselves in just one vehicle, and they had all those interactions about the GPS and like the tracking information all just between them two. And then they got out and they dug around where their tracker said the boat was, and they ended up finding the figurehead, the woman's figurehead that's on the front of the ship first. And when they discovered it, then Riley called base camp, and then the other guys came out in three other vehicles once they had been told that they'd found the ship. And then we have a scene transition to the next day, which is where the scene of them like on top of the ship looking, and they've cleared the whole ship of snow. And so they can see the whole thing.
Oh, wow.
And so we sort of get an exterior view of them looking at the ship completely uncovered, at least on one side. And then we have apparently another day passes, and then they're exploring the inside of the ship. And so we have a three-day thing in the screenplay, which appears on screen to us now to all happen basically the same day.
Interesting.
Which obviously they couldn't have cleared the ship as much as they did in one day, realistically, I don't think. So maybe it's 2 days here in the movie now, but originally in the screenplay they had it for 3 days. And so that's really as far as I read in the screenplay. But there's, I think in that version, it was intended to be, they tried to fit even more jokes in.
Oh, gosh.
Like, are already fit in.
Thank goodness they cut him out.
Yeah. And some of them are, like, one's actually, I think they intended Riley to be an overweight guy, because one's, like, a weight joke about Riley. And it's not very, it's just not funny. And so I think it'd be cringy if they'd stuck with those ideas. So I'm glad that they trimmed it down, but. Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay.
So, join us next time here on National Treasure Minute, and we'll talk about Minute 11.
Thanks for listening.